Jelle. Is dit die middel? Middelsirkel, as ek reg. Okay, so ek hoor dis nou skielik Afrikaans hier by julle vir een of ander rede, maar my boodskap is in Engels. Eindelijk is ek Afrikaans, maar as ek preek, dan kom het in Engels uit, so. Ons gaan so bykie net hallo sê in Afrikaans. Die rede hoekom julle daar nie kan sien nie, is nie, die projekter het vanmorgen gebreek, so verskoning daarvoor, so ek gaan vir julle sê waar daar staan making space for God. So dit is net bykie om te sê waar ons as 'n gemeente River of Life is, ons is nou so 2 maande, bykie meer as 2 maande, 10 weke in 'n thema in, wat ons gesels oor die idee van ons moet spasie maak vir God in ons levens, en ons sal waarskynlik tot die einde van die termijn aangaan, met dit, maar is lekker om by julle te wees, is lekker om te beleef wat ander dele van die lichaam beleef, en is lekker om te hoor hoe julle aanbid, is lekker om al van julle vanmorgen hier so te sien. Ek in die week koffie gedrink saam met Mozzie, en ek verstaan, julle is deur 'n tyd waar julle gesels het oor disipelskap, vir so 8 weke, so ek glo wat ek vanmorgen kan sê, kan bietjie daarby inpas ook, so kom ons bid saam, vertrou ons die Here. Father, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are Emmanuel, God, with us. Thank you that you send your Son to get us out of the pit of despair, and that Jesus himself is the solid rock on which we stand. Lord, we ask that you would come and open your word to your people. Lord, I want to submit myself to you and to your leading, and my prayer and my desire of my heart is that this local body would be edified, would be strengthened, and would be encouraged to do what you have called them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so my wife is going to try keep up at the back with slides. So I want to start by reading Luke 2:46. It's a very well-known passage. We all know the story of Jesus traveling with his mother and father to Jerusalem. Jesus gets lost as a 12-year-old boy. And 3 days later, they find him in the temple. And it says the following, and after 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. So I want to talk this morning about understanding. What's the difference between knowledge and understanding and wisdom? And how does all these things fit together? So these teachers of the law are sitting with Jesus and they are amazed at his understanding. They're not amazed at his knowledge. Why are they not amazed at his knowledge? Because as a 12-year-old boy, Jesus, like all the other Jews and Jewish boys, would have memorized most of the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible. So to have the knowledge is no big deal. So for a 12-year-old to be asked a question about Moses or the tabernacle or the Ten Commandments, all of these things that we read in the first 5 books of the Bible, for him to have the knowledge of that means nothing, because they all had the same knowledge. Now most of us these days have access to the internet. You can Google whatever you want. So I don't know how many of you have done that. If you broken your motorcycle, you need to do something, you don't know how to do it, plumbing or whatever, you Google it and there's someone who's going to show you in a video or a description how to do it. So I did a search on how to restore or how to rebuild an engine. And there was 152 million articles, Google said, on how to rebuild an engine. The problem is I can read all of them and these hands will still not be able to do it. I can have all the knowledge and all that knowledge is accessible, but unless I have some sort of understanding as to what I'm doing, that knowledge will mean nothing. Jesus says in Matthew 11:25, "Praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, but you have revealed them to little children." So Jesus steps into earth, and the clever people don't get it. Clever people don't understand. it. And we look back and we say, but how could they miss Jesus? How could they not see all the prophecies being fulfilled? You see, they had all the knowledge, but they lacked understanding. And Jesus says that sometimes He just reveals it to little children, maybe put a little bit differently, to ordinary people, simple people. Ordinary people is loved by Jesus, and Jesus loves to show His heart and reveal Himself to ordinary people. Matthew 13, 9, Jesus says, whoever has an ear, let him hear. Now, He says that a couple of times in the Gospels. He who has an ear, let him hear. It's a strange statement. Think about it for a moment. What else can the ear do? How many of you have been bugged by a mosquito lately? I mean, you can't shut your ear off. You can't turn it off. The fact that you have an ear means that you are going to hear. So why would Jesus say, he who has an ear, let him hear? If you read the Amplified, it says, he who has an ear to hear, let him be listening and let him consider and perceive and comprehend by his hearing. She's not talking just about a physical hearing. And the New Living Translation makes it very simple. It says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. God's heart is that we should understand the gospel. And if you talk about discipleship, or you've been through this journey of discipleship, one of the key things of discipleship is that you need to understand, you need to have insight as to what God is saying. So in the week, we were chatting about this, and I was chatting to someone, and it's talking about the grace of God. I'll say something about it a bit later again. And I say to this person, so do you deserve this? He says, yes. I'm saying, no, you don't deserve it. That's the whole point. Grace means you don't deserve it. No, but he deserves it. And I had to think on my feet. And I had to give him the following illustration. I'm saying, your son comes and he breaks the window. Does he deserve a punishment? Does he deserve a hiding? Yes, he deserves a hiding. What does God do? We break the window and then he gives us a car for free. And the guy said, huh? That's how God's grace works. And unless we understand that, we'll never embrace it. We'll never walk with it. So let's talk about understanding. You see, knowledge is facts. Facts are readily available. We have books, we have encyclopedias, we have the internet. The facts are available. Understanding is the ability to translate the meaning from those facts. So it's more than just the facts, but I can get some understanding, some insight, something that I can apply in my life. And wisdom then is the knowledge to understand what to do next, given the facts and given the circumstances. Those with understanding are able to extract the meaning out of the information. They see through the facts to the dynamics of what, how, and why. Understanding is a lens that brings the facts into crisp focus and produces principles. And I believe more than ever in these days, we need understanding. It's not good enough to have all the knowledge. The teachers in the days of Jesus had all the knowledge. They'd memorized the whole Bible, the Old Testament. They knew everything. They could quote it off by heart. And yet when Jesus stepped in, they lacked the understanding to recognize Him. So Jesus tells a story, parable of the sower. I think all of us know the story where Jesus tells of this man who goes out and he sows seed. Strange thing happens. Just after Jesus tells the story, guess what the disciples say? They say, hey, we don't understand. We don't get it. Now let me try and help you, because it's not difficult. Jesus says someone goes out and he sows seed. Some of the seed falls on a road. It wasn't a tar road, it was a dirt road, but it was a hard piece of ground. So what will happen? The seed will not go into the ground. It will not grow. It's not difficult to understand. And it says some of the other seeds fell between the rocks. There wasn't enough soil. It sprouted quickly, but the roots couldn't go down, so the plant just died. It's not difficult to understand. Some of the others fell between the thorns, and the thorns choked it, and it died. Not difficult to understand. Last seed fell on good ground that was prepared. It was cultivated. There's fertilizer in it. And it grows. This is not rocket science. What's the problem? Maybe it helps because we've read the next part where Jesus explains it. But get this. These disciples were standing there and they're saying, Jesus, we don't get this. We don't understand the story. Now maybe you understand the parable of the sower, but maybe there are some other things, some other areas in your life where you just say, oh God, I don't understand what's happening. I don't see what you are doing. I don't understand where you are going with this. You lack understanding. So let's look through parable of the sower. In Matthew 13:9 it says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. Jesus starts his explanation of this story. He says, if someone does not understand, it means nothing. Some of the other Gospels talks about the birds of the air coming and they just pick up the seed and they eat it and that thing cannot grow. Verse 20 and 21 it says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. What's the first thing that disappears when trouble or persecution comes? You'll probably say something like, but I don't understand. Didn't God promise that He would do this and this and this for me? Didn't Mossy preach last week that this is who God is and now this is not happening? So I don't understand. Because I don't understand, the seed that was sown in my heart cannot grow. It actually withers and it dies. The seed falling among the thorns refer to someone, verse 22, who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth chokes the word, making it unfruitful. The deceitfulness of wealth, the worries of life. Again, I think the thing that disappears is understanding. We don't understand what the true purpose of life is. We don't understand why we are really here. We don't understand what has real value. And we begin to pursue other things. And we lose understanding. And the word becomes unfruitful. Verse 23 it says, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. Understanding is key. Because we've all established, we all have ears. If we have ears, we're going to hear. The key is not hearing. The key is understanding. And this is the one who produces a crop yielding 160, 30 times what was sown. So Jesus walks on the water one day. Quite amazing. Jesus is walking on the water. Just before that, he fed 4,000 people. He did that twice. The one was 5,000. This one was 4,000. So he walks up to them in the midst of a storm. He's walking on the water. Then he calms the storm, gets into the boat. And then it says in Mark 6:51, when he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down, they were completely amazed. But read what they were amazed about. For they had not understood about the loaves. Now we go, huh? What's happening here? Jesus walks on the water. Jesus calms the storm. And they're not amazed at that. They are still stuck two miracles back at the feeding of the 4,000. It says they were amazed because they did not understand about the loaves. And their hearts were hardened. You see, if you lack understanding, you're going to miss what God is doing. And God is doing something new every moment. And every day, He's doing something new. And we've got to keep up. We've got to keep our understanding up. We've got to discern what is happening around us. Whether it is in your personal life, in your family life, in your work situation, in the country, the politics and the economics, everything that's happening around us, we've got to keep our understanding up. Otherwise, we're going to fall behind, like the disciples did. They didn't understand how Jesus could feed 4,000 with how many ever loaves of bread He had. And they missed this amazing other two miracles that took place after that. So we're going to put a picture up. Understanding will make a box. And if I have a limited understanding, I will have a small box. Next one. And there's only a small bit of God that I have access to. There's only a small bit of God working in my life. But if I can increase my understanding level, then the box will be bigger and there will be more of God in my life. And as you've been journeying through this process of discipleship, what is discipleship essentially? It is following Jesus with everything. It is obeying all of His commands. And in that process, we need to grow. In that process, we need to grow in our understanding so that there can be more of God in me. I can reflect more of His glory. My understanding places a limit on my walk with God. And I want to pray that none of us would be limited in our walk with God. But that we would see greater and greater and greater things. I'm just thinking of a scripture, it's not on the PowerPoint, where Jesus says, you will do these works that I've been doing, and you will do greater works. And the only way we get there is if we grow in our understanding. So I want to come back to mercy and grace. As I started with this message, I actually started with this illustration. I was thinking of mercy and of grace. So, what is mercy? Mercy is when I do not get what I deserve. I broke the window. I deserve a hiding. But now I don't get a hiding. That means I do not get what I deserve to get. We are sinners. Penalty of sin is death. We deserve to die, but God does not kill us. That is His mercy working in our lives. Grace is something different. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. Getting what we do not deserve. So I went, next slide. And I made an assumption. I went and did a word search. NIV version, Old Testament, the word grace appears 7 times. In the whole of the Old Testament, the word grace appears only 7 times. New Testament, 121 times. Now those of you who haven't figured this out yet, the Old New Testament is also slightly smaller than the New Testament. Okay? So, but in the whole of the Old Testament, this word only appears 7 times. 4 of the 7, it refers to wearing something. Your neck is graced by that necklace. That's what it says. That's not the meaning of grace. So 4 of the 7 doesn't count. 1 is actually negative. It says if there's too much grace, the people will just go crazy and do silly things. My translation. So 1 of them is negative, and there's only 1 positive use of the word grace in the Old Testament, where a promise is given that God will give us a spirit of grace and a spirit of supplication. And then I began to make an assumption that the Old Testament is the mercy story, and the New Testament then must be the grace story. Until I discovered that the word gracious appears 38 times in the Old Testament. And of the 38, 31 describes the character of God. So what's happening here? Did God change? Was He not gracious in the Old Testament and then suddenly in the New Testament now He's gracious? No. Look what's happening. There was no understanding in the Old Testament. They didn't get it. And because they didn't get it, they could not walk in the grace of God. And Jesus comes and He breaks that open, and Paul receives this incredible revelation of grace. And that's why he writes about it so much. And suddenly in the New Testament there is an understanding of grace. And grace becomes accessible. So God gives a prayer that the priests have to pray over Israel. We call it the priestly blessing in Numbers 6. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you." So even in the priestly blessing, they prayed that every single day. But they did not get it. They didn't understand how this worked. It says, "And the Lord," as 1 Samuel, "and the Lord was gracious to Hannah, and she gave birth to 3 sons." It was the grace of God. She didn't deserve it. God gave her something that she did not deserve. The grace of God. Nehemiah. "And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request." Nehemiah is going to go rebuild. And he needs some supplies. So he writes a letter, gives it to the king. And the king gives him all the material that he needs. Sounds like the grace of God. He didn't deserve it. He couldn't pay for it. He couldn't do anything. He got it for free. But why did he get it for free? Because the gracious hand of God was on him. Luke 2 verse 40 says, "When the child grew and became strong and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Speaking of Jesus. Later it says in Acts 4, "With great power the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, all that were there, there were no needy person among them." How does that work? How do we walk into a room like this and there's some people here? We say there's no needy person. By the grace of God working powerfully, very powerfully. Now just to recap, their church was slightly bigger. Because remember that first day 3,000 got saved. And in that church and in that context, the grace of God was working so powerfully. That which they did not deserve, God gave them. So if you're still not getting it, I'm going to draw you some pictures. Okay, so we have 0 in the middle. We have the freedom, the fullness of the abundant life of God, this side, plus 10. We have sin and death, this side, minus 10. So most of us, let's say we start at minus 10. We are in a mess. Let's call that minus 10. Maybe it should be a minus 1,000. I don't know. But we are in a mess. How do we get out of the mess? We get out of the mess when the mercy of God begins to work. Because I deserve, because of the sin I've committed, to die. I deserve to stay in my mess. And God comes and He moves me out of my mess. But see what He does. Mercy only gets me to zero. Mercy only removes my sin. And then from zero to plus 10 or plus 10 million, this abundant life that God has promised me. And in that space, grace and mercy starts a new cycle. See, but if I don't understand, this is just an illustration. If I don't understand mercy and grace, I'm going to be stuck at zero. Or I'm going to be stuck in my sin. So how do I get understanding? If understanding is so important, how do I get understanding? I'd love to have some more understanding. I hope you too. I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures. First one says, Hebrews 11 verse 3, by faith we understand. This is one of my favorite scriptures when it comes to understanding. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not seen. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. I love this verse. Because I can understand this. I can relate to this. You can come to me and you can say to me, do you understand that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, rested on the seventh day, made it out of nothing? And my answer will be, yes, I understand. Then you can come to me and you can say, but explain to me the science behind it. And I say, no, I have no clue. I don't understand. You see, I don't understand that with my intellectual mind. I don't understand that by trying to reason it out. I understand it by faith. So the first key to having understanding is realizing that understanding is a faith journey. It's a beautiful verse that says, and God will give us a peace that transcends all understanding. What does that mean? That means you go to the ATM, you put in the card, and it spits out the card without giving you any money, because there's nothing in the bank. That's a problem. That means I should now be worried. Yet, in the midst of that, a peace comes upon me that doesn't make sense. A peace that's illogical. Because my mind says, I cannot buy food tonight. And yet, I'm experiencing peace. That is understanding by faith. It's not understanding by my mind. In Psalm 119 and verse 130 it says, the unfolding of your word gives life. It gives understanding to the simple. So second key to gaining understanding is quite simply picking up your Bible and reading it. You see, most of the Christian walk is not that difficult. For some reason, we want the big things. We want the extravagant. We want the wow. Jesus says, or God says here, just pick up your Bible, read it. I will open the word up for you, and I will give you understanding. It's as simple as that. Paul writes to Timothy, and he's explained some things to him as to what he should do in the church there. And he says, think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all of these things. Now we get to the really good part. Understanding is God's work. It's not even my work. The Lord will help me to understand. But if we look at this verse, I think we've got to think about it. We've got to spend some time thinking about it. And the more we think about it, the more God will open it up to us. And He will give us understanding. Psalm 119 verse 34. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Understanding is something that I can ask God for. And if I ask, then I can trust that He will give it to you. He's the one giving it. I can ask for it. last two scriptures, Philippians 1, 9 to 10. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day that Christ returns. So he says, I want you to grow in knowledge and understanding. He says, I want you to understand. But all of this starts with that first words, I pray. Paul was praying for that church that they would grow in love, grow in knowledge, grow in understanding. And then I think we can also pray. We can take the scripture and we can pray it. We can say, God, would you give me more and more understanding? Ephesians 1:15. Again, I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father, that he would give you a spirit of wisdom and insight that you may grow in your knowledge. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand. There's a song, I don't know if you know the song, it says, open the eyes of my heart. You know the song? That's what it's about. It's a prayer. That song is a prayer that comes from this verse. It says, God, would you open the eyes of my heart that I might not see but understand. Not hear but understand. Does that make sense? And that's something that God wants to do for all of us. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand. The confident hope that he has given to those who are called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. Guys, maybe I must try and use a motorcycle illustration, which is probably bad because I might not understand what I'm saying. But if you take a person who has been driving a 125cc motorcycle, a kid, and you put him on a super bike, what's the problem? He has no understanding of the power that is within that motorcycle. Does that make sense? So for years he's been on his 125. When he opens the throttle, it goes from 60 to 80, or whatever the case might be. And then suddenly he's on the super bike. He doesn't understand this great power. Now he opens that thing and now there's trouble. Maybe you've been driving a 125cc Jesus all your life. And you've thought that there's no more power available. But Jesus is a superbike. He has so much power available. What does he say here? I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. God wants you to understand why, so that you will be able to use that power accurately, appropriately, where he wants you to use it. I'm just going to be for dwell for a moment. Peter walks down the street, and his shadow falls on people and they get healed. Now let me be honest with you. I don't understand that. And the problem with me not understanding it is that it's not happening. You get that? Peter got to a space where he understood the greatness of the power of God. And that power began to manifest through his life. Paul would walk into situations where there is unbelievers and he would find a way to explain the gospel to them because he had an understanding of this incredible power of God. And in Paul's case, he had an understanding of the grace of God. And because he understood it, he was able to explain it. So as I was sitting earlier this week talking to this person, trying to explain the grace of God, you know what I was challenged with? I can preach the message. I can use the Christian words. But in that context, I had to think very quickly of a different example. And that means I have to understand it. The deeper I understand the grace of God, the easier it is to walk into any situation and find a contact point and explain it to someone. So I want to pray that you as an individual, but that you as a church, would grow in your understanding of who God is. Grow in His understanding of His grace. Grow in an understanding of His power that is available to you. Last scripture, Isaiah 11:1-2. It says, a shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse. From its roots a branch will bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That verse, we talk about the sevenfold Spirit of God. Because there's seven things listed there. One of those things is understanding. Where does understanding come from? Understanding comes from the Spirit of God. It is a work of God. And if you are a son or a daughter of God, you have access to this. You can pray. You can ask. You can trust that God will give you understanding. You can say, Holy Spirit, bring me to a place of understanding, of greater understanding. Guys, we are living in very interesting times. We are living in strange and difficult times. I've for the last maybe week, 2 weeks, I've not spent so much time reading up on the news. So for the first time in a while, I don't know exactly what's happening in the moment it's happened. And when I just looked again, some stuff happened. I'm still here. Nothing happened to me. But there are some stuff happening every single day. And everything that happens will challenge your understanding. Will challenge your understanding of who God is, of His character, of His nature. Does He really love me? Does He really care for me? Does He really want to use me? Is His power really that great? Guys, I think we are living in times where if we don't have understanding of what's happening, God's insight, God's discernment for the times that we are living in, I think the church is very, very close to becoming irrelevant. Because we cannot answer the questions of the day. And if we cannot answer the questions of the day, we become irrelevant. And you, as a church community, has been planted here by God for a specific purpose. He wants you to fulfill that purpose. But if you don't have understanding or insight into that purpose, if you cannot correctly discern the signs of the time, and you don't have just a basic understanding of who God is, you will never be able to step into that purpose. I was just thinking of something now that I thought I would open with, so now I'll close with it. I don't know Mozzie that well. I know him fairly well. We see each other normally at the church meetings. One of the things that amazes me about him is I exactly know where to find Mozzie. So if I walk into Hetzel Pretoria and we're having a big TCN meeting over there, I don't have to search the whole building. I can just look at the front row. Because Mozzie will always be on the front row. Now, I thought I'd make a joke about that. I don't know if that's old habits from school where he was forced to sit in front for being naughty. But I think he has a heart that wants to learn. He has the heart that wants to grow in knowledge and understanding. And I want to honor him as the leader of this congregation. A man that I believe and sense as I look at him, who wants to grow in understanding. And I want to say, trust him. Follow him. Learn from him. But also allow that spirit to rub off on you. We only have 3 people wanting to sit in the front row. So that spirit hasn't caught on quite yet. Doesn't matter where you sit. May you have a heart that I believe is the heart of this house. A heart that says, I want more of Jesus. I want to grow in Jesus. I'd love to pray for you. Psalm 119:34 says, give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all of my heart. Can I ask if you want to stand with me and you want to say, God, I want to grow in my understanding. Don't you want to quickly stand with me and then we'll pray together. Father, I want to start by saying that if I'm honest with myself, then I lack understanding. I don't really understand what you're doing. If I look at our country, what's happening in the politics and the economics, I don't understand what you're doing. God, would you open it up to me? Would you give me insight? Would you give all of us insight? May we be like the prophets of the olden days that understood exactly what God was doing. Who had our ears to your chest, hearing your heartbeat and understanding what you were doing in our nation. Father, secondly, I want to pray for our family contexts, our practical life situations, our work situations. Would you give us understanding? Would you give us insight? Your word says that we should count it all joy when we suffer trials and persecution. Lord, but probably what happens is when the trial and persecution comes, we say, I don't understand what God is doing. I don't understand where God is. Why did God desert me? Give us understanding in that area of our lives. God, and then lastly, I want to pray that you would open up your word to us. That the unfolding of your word would bring insight and understanding. Pray that we would understand how much power is available. Pray that we would grow in our understanding. We pray that that one aspect of the sevenfold Spirit of God, the Spirit of understanding, would rest on us. Father, I want to pray for this local church that you would break open understanding in this house. God, may this be a place where people can come, where people will flock to hear the simple but powerful truth of God taught. And that when people step their foot into this building, there would be understanding. There would be clarity. And that the birds of the air would not steal the word spoken in this house. Father, we pray for Mozzie as he rests. Lord, would you speak to him? Would you give him greater and greater insight into what your plans are and what your purposes are for this house? Pray for the leadership of this church, that you'd give them great insight, great understanding of your purposes. God, I pray that this incredible power that is available to all of us would begin to manifest itself more and more and more in this house. May we get onto the superbike, Jesus, with more than enough power to conquer any situation. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give back to our... Where'd you go now? Sorry, you sit reg in die lug. Kan jy nie sien nie.